Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our weekly program on Jewish Halakha Minhag, together with the English-speaking program here at Yeshivat Chut Shel Chesed. We welcome our viewers on our internet site, Bress of Israel, breslev.co.il. We are normally supposed to start at 11:30, and the share is 3/4 of an hour till 12:15, and then 10 minutes of halachic questions. We're sorry that we're late today. The Shia is dedicated for the health of Aharon Ben Victoria, one of the members of our Kehillah, who's going through severe eye surgery right now. So that's why we were a bit delayed. We were davening, praying, and dancing for him. And Bezrat Hashem, Hashem is going to send him a refuah shleima b'toch sh'ar cholei amo Yisrael. We started speaking a couple of weeks ago about the Hilchos of Loshon Hara, and we are still at the introduction that the Chofetz Chaim gave, knowing what are the mitzvahs and averus that a person does when he refrains from speaking Loshon Hara or when he speaks Loshon Hara. Today we're still at the mitzvot aseh, the positive commandments, and we have reached today the important commandments of honoring and respecting a Talmid Chacham. We have a mitzvah which says Mipnei seiva takum vehadarta pnei zaken. You should get up from the elderly, where the elderly is someone above the age of 70. And it's important to know we have a ruling known as Sfeika Doraita Lechumra. Any commandment that is a commandment from the Torah, when we're in doubt, we should be machmir. Which means when we see someone coming and we are not sure whether he is 70 or he isn't 70, we have to get up in his honor. Now, most people don't understand what this commandment means. This doesn't mean that if you're sitting on the bus, you have to let him sit in your seat. That is a completely different commandment called Gemilut Chesed. The mitzvah of honoring someone elderly means standing up in his honor, or even raising a bit from your seat, which is a sign of dignity and respect. But the pasuk also says Vehadarta pnei zaken, that you should also respect the elderly. And the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin on the 31st page asks, why does the pasuk say this twice? Mipnei seiva takum, you should get up in front of the elderly. Vehadarta pnei zaken, you should respect the elderly. Says the Gemara, zaken does not mean a person who is old, a person who is age 70 and up. Zaken is a Talmid Chacham, and zaken is actually the initials of ze kana chokhma, he who bought wisdom. So we have a positive commandment of respecting our Talmidei Chachamim, because they are the ones who give us down through the generations and tell us what does the Torah expect from us. The Talmidei Chachamim, their job is A, to pass down the knowledge given by the generations through the former Torah scholars, and B, to answer and interpret things that are relevant for each generation. For example, 900 years ago, no one had to deal with questions relating to the internet. We today do have to do that, because the world is dynamic, the world is constantly evolving, the world is constantly, I wouldn't know if I'd use the word going forwards, because in many ways the world is going backwards, but at least from a technological point of view, things are changing, and we have to know how to cope with these things from the halachic point of view. So we have a positive commandment of respecting our Talmidei Chachamim, our Torah scholars. Therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, a person who disrespects a Talmid Chacham by speaking Loshon Hara about him, which is obviously exactly the opposite of respecting the Talmid Chacham, is violating a direct commandment of respecting the Torah scholars. This is a very important commandment, and I'd like to elaborate a bit on it. What does it mean respecting a Talmid Chacham? What are the ramifications of those who disrespect the Talmidei Chachamim? But before that, I'd also like to maybe, I'm now a bit lost for the word. I'd also like to expand on a certain point explaining who is a Talmid Chacham that we are supposed to respect, because that question could be a very confusing question. Is it someone who knows the whole Torah by heart? Is it someone who knows part of the Torah by heart? Is it someone that teaches us? Is it someone that we think that he may know more than us? And the honest truth is that the Mishnah in Maseches Avos, on the 6th chapter, the chapter which deals with the Torah, answers that question. We're going to read the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Halomed mechavero perek echad, o halacha achat, o pasuk echad, o dibur echad, o afilu ot achat, tzarich linhog bo kavod. If you learn from your friends even one chapter, one halacha, one pasuk, even one letter, you have to respect him. And where does the Mishnah learn this from? Says the Mishnah. Sheken matzinu b'David melech Yisrael. David melech Yisrael, who was the leading Torah scholar of his generation. Shelo lamad me'achitofel ela shnei dvarim bilvad. He learned from Achitofel only two things. What did he call Achitofel? Because he learned from him two things. Krao rabo alufo umyudao. He called him my rabbi, my champion, my master. Says the Mishnah. Halomed mechavero perek echad. He who learns from his friend one chapter, or halacha achat, or pasuk echad, or dibur echad. If you learn from your friend, it makes no difference what quantity he teaches you. If he is a person who is teaching you Torah, alachat kama v'chama shetzarech inhog bo kavod. Kal v'chomer that you have to respect him. Which means the Mishnah here states that a Talmid Chacham that we are obligated to respect is someone that teaches us. It's irrelevant whether we consider him to be knowledgeable enough in our eyes. It's irrelevant whether he knows the whole Torah or he doesn't know the whole Torah. The mere fact that he knows more than us and he is teaching us, more so say the Torah scholars, even if you know more than him, but he taught you something new, you are obligated to respect him. Now this is a mistake that many people make, and where do we see this a lot? We see this a lot in the Talmud Torah. In the Talmud Torah we know we have children, and they are studying by a Rebbe. Many times the children will be at the ages of 11, 12, 13, and sometimes the children will ask a question, why do I have to respect my Rebbe? I don't know that my Rebbe is an incredible Talmid Chacham, or if my Rebbe's got smicha, or if my Rebbe says as a Rav and as a Poisek, do I have to respect him? And the halachic answer is yes, you are obligated. It's irrelevant whether your Rebbe is a big Talmid Chacham, it's irrelevant whether he has smicha, it's irrelevant even whether he knows what you think is important for a Rebbe to know to be able to teach you as a child learning in the Talmud Torah. The mere fact that he is your Rebbe and he is teaching you, you are obligated to treat him as your Rav and respect him. Which means, you are obligated to, A, you're not allowed to call him by his name. One is not allowed to call your Rav by his private name. A person who calls his Rav by his private name is violating a Torah commandment. Not a special hanhaga given by the Torah scholars, a Torah commandment. You are not allowed to refer to your Rebbe by name. You have to call him Rabbi Moshe. Or, if that's what he prefers to be called by his surname, Rabbi Cohen. You have to stand up when your Rebbe enters the classroom. That's one of the obligations. Now, these are things that we as parents need also to teach our children. You have to stand up when the Rebbe leaves the classroom. Now, if the Rebbe comes in and leaves the classroom 10 times during the day, that doesn't mean you've got to be like a yo-yo jumping up and down. But that means that at the beginning of the day when he comes in, you've got to respect him by standing up in his honor. And at the end of the day, when he leaves, you've got to respect him by standing up when he leaves. Now, all these things are not, they're not special or interesting ways of proper behavior according to the Jewish law. These are Torah commandments. Now, just to understand how severe it is, there is a very famous Rivash. The Rivash, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Sheshet, was the spiritual leader of all the Jews in North Africa. He lived approximately 700 years ago, and during some of the first pogroms that happened in Spain, at those times, there were many feuds between the Muslim Empire, who was trying to conquer and enter through Portugal and Spain, and through the Christian Empire based at that time in Europe. And of course, whenever two people fight, two going fight, who suffers? The Jew standing in the middle. So many prominent Jews and many prominent rabbis escaped Spain at those times. One of them was the Rivash. The Rivash was a Talmid of the Ran, of Rabbeinu Nissim, one of the most important commentators on the Torah and on the Gemara. And he ran away to North Africa, and there he actually became the spiritual leader of all the Jews known in the countries that we call today the areas of Algeria, Tunis, Morocco. He wrote a very important halachic book called Shut HaRivash, Different Questions and Answers That He Was Asked. This is a very important book, and the Shulchan Aruch refers to it every single time the Rivash paskens something. Normally the Shulchan Aruch will go according to him. He was that important. The Rivash in Siman Tavkaf, in Siman Reishkaf, he brings an answer given by the Rived about a rabbi who was disrespected, and says that the Rivash something which is very scary. We know the Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin that a rabbi is allowed If we're talking about things that have got to respect him, a rabbi is allowed to be moichel on those things. He can say to you, for example, you don't need to stand up in my honor. In other words, all the things that you do to honor the rabbi, it is the rabbi's right to say, I exempt you from doing them. But, says the Rivash in the name of the Ravid, if you do something to disrespect your rabbi, A, your rabbi cannot forgive you for that because you did not disrespect him, you respected the Torah. It's not in his power to forgive you for something that is in the Torah. B, you can't repent it. There's no tshuva for that. You will be punished. Which means, says the Rivash, we have got to be very, very careful from disrespecting our Torah scholars, because disrespecting is disrespecting the Torah. And that is very, very, very difficult to do tshuva. Rabbi Inuyona writes already that you can do tshuva by that, what's called tshuvata mishkal. It has to be something counterweight. In other words, you have got to dedicate a long, long time in respecting the Torah scholars and the Torah in order to atone for the sin of disrespecting one of your rabbis. So therefore, today, many of the poskim say, even if the rabbi says you don't have to stand up in my honor, you normally shouldn't listen to him. Because according to people who come from the outside, it might not just seem as a sign of not respecting him, but on the contrary, of disrespecting him. So again, the halachic rule is that the commandment, the positive commandment of respecting our rabbis and Torah scholars, is anyone who teaches us, irrelevant to his Torah knowledge, irrelevant to whether the fact that he has smicha, irrelevant to his age. Therefore, we as parents, when our children learn the Talmud Torah and they have a Rebbe, we must instill in them the obligation to respect their rabbis. And of course, the best way for us to do it is by serving as a personal example of us respecting our rabbis. To understand how severe it is to disrespect a rabbi, says the Gemara on Masechet Brachos, on Tractate Brachos, on the 19th page. Says there the Gemara that a person who disrespects a Talmid Chacham, he has now bought himself a sworn enemy, and that enemy is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with him personally. Like we say in the Haggadah, Lo al yedei malach, not by an angel, not by a saraf, not by a messenger, but by me, Hashem. So the Gemara says that it's very dangerous. Now the Gemara brings a story. It says there was once someone who disrespected Shmuel. Shmuel, as we know, was one of the greatest Amoraim. And many, there's not one Masechta in Shas where his name is not mentioned dozens of times. And Shmuel says that the Gemara, there was one time in Choch, one person who disrespected him. And a big log fell on his head and split his brain open. He died on the spot. Says the Gemara, that was Hashem taking his vengeance from that person. More so, says the Gemara, a person who disrespects a Talmid Chacham is chayev nidui. In other words, that person should be shunned. And where do we learn that story from? Says that the Gemara, a terrible story about one of the Torah scholars that we all know, Akavya ben Mahalalel. Akavya ben Mahalalel was one of the most important Tanoim. There's a very famous Mishnah in his name, which unfortunately, most of us know it. When we go to funerals, that's the Mishnah that's constantly repeated by the Chevra Kadisha. Akavya ben Mahalalel omer, Hevei mistakel bishlo, yeah, he says, Histakel bishlosha dvarim ve'en ata ba lidei avera. Look at three things, and you won't know, you won't come to Hashem. Dai ma'in bata, know where you come from, ulan ata olech, where you're going, ve'lifnei mi ata atid yiden v'ni cheshbon. And who you are about to give din v'cheshbon, who you going to give judgment in front of. Says the Gemara, Akavya ben Mahalalel, there was a big argument about dinei soita. What is a din of soita? The din of soita says that it is a husband's right to say to his wife, I do not allow you to be alone privately in a secluded house with A, B, C, D. And it's not sneer stick, that's not the appropriate behavior for a Jewish woman. I don't want you to be alone with him. Being public with him in the public is not, there's no problem. But being alone with him, I don't allow you. Says there the Gemara, says, we know the Torah says that a woman who violates what her husband told her, and she nevertheless, she went and she was alone in a secluded house with that person, whether she behaved in a non-sneer fashion or not, irrelevant, she is considered to be a soiter. She's not allowed to live with her husband until she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and she drinks special water called Maim Hamarim Hamarim, the bitter and cursed water, which is supposed to actually check her to see if she violated her sacred oaths with her husband. Says there the Gemara, there was a big machlokes among the Mishnah scholars. What is the din about a giyoret or a shivcha meshucheret? someone who was not Jewish and who became Jewish through the process of Gerus, or someone who was a Knani slave, which means she was a non-Jew sold into slavery into a Jew, and we know that a non-Jew sold into slavery and every Knani, this is in the times of Torah, immediately was obligated to fulfill all the commandments just like women, and when he's released he becomes a full Jew. Do they have to drink the Mei Soita or not? Says the Mishnah, Akavya ben Mahalalel said, no, she they don't have to drink, because we learn from the Pasuk, it's only from someone who was born Jewish. Says that the Mishnah, says that the Gemara, they brought testimony that two of the greater Mishnah scholars, Avtalion and Shmaya, who were the rabbis of Hillel and Shammai, there was a released slave in Yerushalayim called Karkemit. And she was a released slave, she got married, and she was a soita, and they paskan that she has got to drink the Maim Hamarim Amarim. So we see here from there that even someone who was not born Jewish, it's irrelevant, if she's Jewish now, she is considered to be just like any other Jew, and she has to drink the Mei Soita. Says that the Gemara, that Akavya ben Mahalalel responded in a bit of a derogatory way. He said, Dugma Hishkuha. What does it mean, Dugma Hishkuha? The Gemara says in Gittin on the 52nd page that Shmaya and Avtalion were born of descendants of Gerim. They were the descendants of the offsprings of Sancheriv. Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, his descendants became Jewish. And Shmaya and Avtalion were their descendants. He says, Dugma Ishkuha, says, what are you bringing me a raya from Shmaya and Avtalion? It was a personal issue with them. They didn't come from a, what's called in America, they call it an FFB. FFB is from birth. So they didn't come from a JFB family, from a Jewish from birth family. I mean, they came from a family of, there were goyim in their family, so obviously they paskened that this released slave is supposed to drink. Says the Gemara, because of that saying, because of that derogatory response towards Shmaya and Avtalion, as if their psika was affected by their family status, Akavya ben Mahalalel was shunned, and he died while he was still under Nidui, and they had to put a big rock on his Aron, on the coffin, before they let him, to show everyone that he died while still being shunned. So we can see here how severe it is disrespecting the Talmid Chacham. And this is the halacha. A person who disrespects the Talmid Chacham is allowed to be shunned. We recently had a very difficult situation, a very difficult shaila, about someone who was shunned by one of the important Batei Dinim here in Eretz Yisrael. And it was a big shaila because he died and the Nidui was still on him when he passed away. And they had to go to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din had to annul this Nidui, a whole big story. More so, the Yerushalmi in Trumas on the 8th chapter says that a person who disrespects the Talmid Chacham has got to pay a fine of a litra zahav. It's 150 grams of solid, pure gold. Now, I don't really understand the value of gold today. Maybe someone can tell you how much is a gram of gold worth, more or less?
$1,700.
1 gram?
Gram.
$250 is 1 gram. Multiply that by 150, and we're reaching a very nice sum of 37,500 shekel. Which means, better keep your mouth shut, because it's not worth it. And even though we paskan today halachically that we do not collect that sum of money, still, you can see. Now, why is the Gemara so severe about a person who disrespects the Talmid Chacham? And the answer is given in Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch explains something, and in order to understand that, we have to understand the role of Moshe Rabbeinu and the role of the Torah scholars through the generations. Am Yisrael got 613 commandments from Hashem. How many commandments did Am Yisrael themselves hear? Am Yisrael only heard two. Achat diber Elohim, shtayim zu shamati. Only two commandments. The first two commandments of Aseres Hadibros, Anochi Hashem, ve'lo yeh lecha Elohim achirim al panai, lo yeh lecha Elohim achirim al panai, those are the only two commandments that Am Yisrael heard directly from Hashem. All the other commandments, 611 other commandments, they only heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. That is what the Pasuk says at the end of the Tzohar in Parashat Vezot HaBracha, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah, what is the numerical value of Torah? 611. 611 commandments were given to us directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did this happen? At the end of Parshas Kitisa, says the Torah, the Bnei Israel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Daber ata imanu v'nishma." Please, you speak to us, tell us what Hashem says. "Ve'al yedaber imanu Elokim penamut." We don't want Hashem to speak to us, for we'll die. Says the Midrash, every single time Am Yisrael heard Hashem speak, Am Yisrael died. And the angels had to come with the dew, the tal of Tchias HaMesim, and had to revive them. Am Yisrael died twice at Mamad HaSinai. The first time they heard Anuchi Hashem, they all died, they had to be revived again. Second time, Lo Yeh Lecha Elohim Achirim Al Panai, they all died a second time. Now, the process of dying and being revived again is not so pleasant, especially when it happens twice. And Am Yisrael said, enough, we can't bear this anymore, we don't want to die. V'al yedaber imanu Elokim penamut, we don't want Hashem to speak to us because we'll die. This is what in Shir HaShirim says, Nafshi Yatz'a Bedaberot. My soul left my body as I heard Hashem speak. So Am Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, please you speak to Hashem, we can't cope with this anymore. Dying twice is enough for a lifetime. Now, imagine the situation where we have here the Ohel Moed. Moshe Rabbeinu enters the Ohel. We know he's speaking to Hashem because we can see the holy cloud on top of the Ohel, but we don't know what he's saying to him. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes out and he says, I have a new commandment for you. You have got to give me and my family, since I'm a Levi, you've got to give me 10% of what you earn. Maaser. Now, imagine if we were living now in the 21st century and we had a modern day Moshe Rabbeinu and he came out of the tent, that's what it'd say. So our comment would be, yeah, right. Oh yeah, of course, yes, I'm sure, yes. You know, please go in there again. Why only 10%? Why not 50? I mean, you know, if you're already doing on 10%, you know, be large. We'd have no faith. We would doubt everything that he says. We want proof. We want to be inside the tent. We want a camera. We want to validate it. We don't believe you. Am Yisrael here showed an incredible amount of emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, many people don't notice this. Mamad HaSinai was not, its purpose was not only to give the Torah to Am Yisrael. It had a secondary and important purpose, which was strengthening the faith in Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it says before Mamad HaSinai, Vegam Becha Ya'aminu Le'olam. And Am Yisrael will also have emuna in you forever. Am Yisrael had an incredible amount of level of emuna towards Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew Moshe spoke to Hashem. They knew Moshe was a holy person. But when Moshe came out of Ohel Moed and he told them what was going on, they didn't hear that directly. They believed that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them what he heard. Now, there was a very, very famous person in the history of the Dor HaMidbar who tried to dispute Moshe Rabbeinu and tried to argue with him what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. That person's name was Korach. And we know that Korach and his whole congregation were punished in such a unique and severe way, a terrifying, petrifying way. The ground opened up, they were all swallowed in, burnt alive. What they used as the machtot, the pans, to bring out the ktoris, were forever used as a memory for Am Yisrael to see this, as a monument for them to remember. Because Am Yisrael, the minute someone tries to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu's authority, he is killing the whole Torah legacy that we have. 611 commandments we only heard from him. Anyone that actually tries to dispute Moshe Rabbeinu will be punished harshly and severely. That's why Miriam Hanavia, when she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu and said that Moshe Rabbeinu was just like her and Aaron, what's the difference? Then why did he separate from his wife? Her punishment was instant and severe, even though she was a tzaddikus, then a prophet and his sister, and dedicated her life to saving. You don't talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, ever. Because Moshe is the giver of the Torah. That's why we have a direct commandment, the Rambam brings it, in the 13 principles of faith, that we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was the father and first of all prophets. And all the prophets, all the other prophets are under Moshe Rabbeinu and they cannot dispute anything that he says. We have a faith, one of our essences of faith is believing in the power of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the tzaddik. That is also an answer to many people who say, how come you Hasidim invented this whole, you know, tzaddik business, believe in the tzaddik. I'm sorry to say, anyone who asks that obviously has never read the Torah properly in his life. We didn't invent the concept of the tzaddik. The tzaddik is a concept which was in time for Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the tzaddik. He was the one who interpreted what Hashem says. He was the one who heard everything. He was the one who brought forth what Am Yisrael said to Hashem, and he was the mediator. We had the tzaddik already before. And we have a mitzvah to believe in the tzaddik, except for Hashem. V'gam b'cha yaminu le'olam. Not only should Am Yisrael have emunah in me, they need to have emunah in you forever. So we see that the position of Moshe Rabbeinu is so important. And, say the Torah scholars, the Gemara in Tractate Brochus, on the 101st page, on the second side, the Gemara there says that all Tamidei Chachamim are called Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Tamidei Chachamim interpret the Holy Torah. Tamidei Chachamim tell us what we're supposed to do. If you undermine the authority of a Tamid Chacham, if you disrespect him, you're actually saying, oh, you know, I don't need you. I can cope with the Torah on my own. You're cutting the legs beneath the essence of our Torah belief, which is believing in the Hashem, in the Torah, and in the scholars who interpret the Torah. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that any person who tries to interpret whatever he wants and to say whatever he thinks, that means that what he's saying is true. We're talking here about a Torah scholar who he himself has a Rav, and his Rav had a Rav, and he comes from a line of Tamidei Chachomim who we know that can be trustworthy and who interpret the Torah properly, and we can see via his actions, and behavior that he is a God-fearing person and is not just someone putting on a whole big show because he wants to get some coveted respect. We're talking about a real Tamid Chacham. Disrespecting a Tamid Chacham is cutting the legs beneath the ground that we stand on. The best example, imagine if we're now davening in a shul. We have a rabbi in a shul. You start a machloikis on the rabbi on your shul in your congregation, finished, you've killed the congregation. Because many people say, one second, you know, I know this guy, he's a mechobedic guy. Korach was an incredible Tamid Chacham. Korach was one of the members of the Sanhedrin. He was a Goan. He was a tzaddik, and that's why it was so dangerous. If you start arguing with the rabbi of the community, disrespecting him, other people will follow. He'll lose his power. He won't be able to lead the community. He'll say a halacha, people will go, not suitable for me. The whole kehillah will break apart. And that's the way it is also with our massive kehillah known as Am Yisrael. That's why we have such an important command of respecting our Tamidei Chachamim, because all Tamidei Chachamim are the continuers of Moshe Rabbeinu. And just like we have to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the giver of the Torah, that's why, what is the title that we add to Moshe? Rabbeinu, our rabbi. Because he's our rabbi. Everything that we have is from him. So because of that, we have such an important commandment of respecting our Tamidei Chachamim. And to understand how severe it is to disrespect them, we're going to bring two stories the Gemara brings. Story number one. Says the Gemara on Tractate Baba Metzia on the 84th page. Says that the Gemara, that the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Elazar Bar Rabbi Shimon, he was an incredible Tamid Chacham and a very holy person. So holy was he that when he passed away, he was not buried. And between 18, the Gemara says, 18 to 22 years, the Gemara is not sure about the number of years, after he passed away, he was up, lying down on a bed in the attic of his house. And he didn't rot. And he looked just like as if he was alive, but he had in him no neshama. And his wife testifies that when she used to come and she used to comb in hair, if she used to pluck out a hair, a drop of blood would come out from that. That is how holy Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon was. One day, his wife goes up to the attic to take care of her husband, to make sure that his clothes are set properly and that his hair is combed. And she suddenly sees something that shocked her. She sees a worm crawling out of his ear. Now she thought, oh my gosh, my husband is starting to rot. What's happening here? And she was crying and praying and doing his bodhidus the whole day. And at night, her husband, Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon, came to her in a dream and he said, don't worry, nothing is happening to me, I'm not starting to rot. The reason you saw a worm crawling out of my ear is punishment, because once I heard a Tamid Chacham being disrespected, and I didn't protest the way I should have. Notice the words. It's not that he didn't protest. He did. But he didn't protest the way he should have. So he was punished. Mida keneged mida. He heard things he shouldn't have heard. And he did not protest. So a worm crawled out of his ear. Now, we're not talking about people like us. We are not even worthy of being the flea on the tail of the donkey that carries the luggage of Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon. I mean, we're talking here about a holy Tana. We're talking about someone who we go up to his Tzion in Meiron and pray there. We're talking about a person who was with his father for 13 years in a cave, learning from Eliyahu Hanavi. And he was punished for not protesting the way he should have towards the Talmid Chacham. Rashi brings another story. Rashi on Sanhedrin, on the 44th page, the second side, Rashi Dibur Amatchil Haumachsa. Rashi tells a story. There was once a very evil lord living in a certain city. He was in charge of the tax of that city, and obviously he was not a very fair person. And he passed away on a certain day, and on that day also, a great Talmid Chacham living in that city also passed away. Both their beds left more or less at the same time. Both were having their funeral at the same time. Of course, to this evil lord, to this evil tax collector, very few people came. There was barely a minion. And to this prominent rabbi in Talmid Chacham, thousands of people were following his bed to give him the last honor. Suddenly, the city was attacked by a foreign army. And of course, the reaction of everyone when they suddenly hear, you know, they suddenly hear the trumpets calling and roaring, the drums roaring, the sounds of war coming upon them. What did everyone do? Everyone panicked. They threw down the beds on which the deceased lay and ran away. Only one Talmid stayed with his rabbi to guard his body. After everything was over, everyone came back. They confused the beds. They thought that the bed of the evil tax collector was the bed of the prominent Talmid Chacham, and the bed of the Talmid Chacham was that of the prominent tax collector. And the Talmid is standing there saying to him, "You're wrong, you're taking the wrong bed, this is the wrong body. This is the body of the evil tax collector." No one listened to him. The rabbi was buried with barely a minion, with no honor, with no respect whatsoever. And the evil tax collector was buried with thousands of people giving him the last honors that he deserved. And the Talmid didn't understand this. And he fasted and prayed, and for days he wanted to have an answer. And one day his rabbi came to him in a dream. This is all a story that Rashi brings. His rabbi came to him in a dream. And the rabbi told him, he saw his rabbi all dressed in white, his face shining. He saw that he was in Gan Eden at one of the highest places possible. And he said, "Rabbi, why were you punished at?" He said, "I'll tell you, my son. This evil tax collector did one mitzvah in his life. One day, he did a big suda and no one came, so he gave away all the food to poor people. And because of that, he was given his sahara in this oilam, that the last kavod they could have given, his last honors, was done in utmost respect. I, on the other hand, my whole life was filled with Torah and mitzvahs. But one time I heard a Talmid Chacham being disrespected, and I didn't protest. And I was punished on this world, that just like I disrespected him, so too did the world disrespect me, and I was buried with no honor whatsoever." There was a famous, very famous story of Mahari ben Lev. Mahari ben Lev was one of the Torah scholars that lived in the time of the Shulchan Aruch. And this is brought in Nigeret HaChalom, written by one of the famous holy rabbis living in Lithuania, called Rabbi Mordechai Meumshina. And he tells a story how in the year 5305, which means we're talking here 470 years ago, more or less, in the city of Saloniki, Mahari ben Lev was a rabbi of Saloniki, and there was a din Torah, and he paskened against someone. And that day he went out to town. He had to do shopping, maybe for Shabbos, for his wife, and this guy saw him in the middle of town, and he slapped him in front of everyone, and no one said anything. And Mahari ben Lev ran to the shop of someone selling besomim, someone selling perfumes and different besomim. He tore his clothes and he said, "Shomu shamayim al zot, may Hashem forgive you for this." At that night, the owner of this perfume store came to inspect his store to lock it up, and he saw a mouse running on the side. He tried to catch him, and accidentally he dropped the candle. A fire started. Over 5,000 homes were burnt that night in the city of Saloniki, and 314 Jews died that night from the fire. And the Mahari ben Lev said 340 is the gematria of Shaddai, one of the holy names of Hashem. And this was a punishment to the people of Saloniki for seeing their Rav being disrespected that way in public and not saying a single word. So we can see here how not only is it important to respect our rabbis and our Torah scholars, how dangerous it is to disrespect them. which means it is not worth speaking about any Rav in Am Yisrael. And even if you think that he is not worthy of the title Rav, I once heard a very good solution from one of my rabbis. He said like this, he said, you think that Rabbi, let's say Rabbi Cohen, is not a Talmid Chacham. Are you willing to go to the Aron Kodesh standing here behind me, open it, hold the Sefer Torah, and swear, saying the holy name of Hashem, that Rabbi Cohen is not a Talmid Chacham? If you're willing to do that, fine. You can disrespect him. If you're not, that means you're in doubt. And when in doubt, we have a very simple rule. Sfeika deoraita lechumra. Any doubts related to commandments in the Torah, lechumra, you've got to be machmir. Which means if you're not willing to swear, holding a Sefer Torah, with the Oren open, that he's not a Talmid Chacham, that means you have a Sofik. And you've got to be machmir and respect him, whether you like him or whether you don't. That's not the issue. Says the Chofetz Chaim, a person who speaks ill about a Talmid Chacham is disrespecting a Talmid Chacham. Speaking Lashon Hora, another positive commandment that he is actually violating is not respecting the Talmid Chacham. Right now our time is up for the Shia, and we have 10 more minutes left for any open questions. If anyone has a question relating to the Shia or into any other halachic issue, please feel free to ask. We'd also like to address our internet viewers. If you have any questions, please write to us. Our email address is bereslev@bereslev.co.il. Please write to us and we will try to refer to the questions on the next program. Yes?
There's been many readers throughout Jewish history who we see in retrospect have been very negative forces of the Jewish people. In the time of the Tobias Shady, I understood that 80% of the Jewish people were Sedukim, and many of the Gadolim were not appropriate or proper leaders. So it's a blanket rule that you can't speak against people.
A good question was asked. The question was that we can see through the Jewish history there were many leaders who were not righteous people, leaders that were not Talmidei Chachamim, leaders that led the Jewish people into dangerous places. What are we supposed to do about them? Well, the answer is very simple. This is a rule that I heard from our Rosh Yeshiva, our Shlita, and I think it is a very basic rule. Every Jew must have a Rav. When you're in doubt about a certain person, go ask your Rav. If you see that your Rav paskens, that you have to disrespect this person because he is a dangerous person, then fine. You can always go and say, I do not respect him, not because I think I know anything, because that is what my Rav paskens. And when you will get to Shamayim, and HaKadosh Baruch will come and say to you, how dare you disrespect Ploni Almoni, you will say to him, Hashem, it's not me, it's my Rav. And he will say to you, oh, you have got a free passage to Gan Eden. Rabbi, come here. That's why being a rabbi is a very, very dangerous position. And many rabbis have to pray very, very, very hard to get some Gan Eden, because when a rabbi makes a mistake, it's crucial. You did what your Rav told you, you are 100% clear. Your Rav will have to answer. Yes? A very good question. We spoke about the fact that you've got to respect anyone who teaches you something. What do you do about your chavrusa that you learn from him? The Gemara says in Masechet Baba Metzia, on the 33rd page, that the Talmidei Chachomim living in Bavel had utmost respect for their friends. They used to stand up in front of their chavrusas. They used to respect the chavrusas. Now, even though this was not paskan to halacha, you have to respect your chavrusa. So much so that many rabbonim have instilled in their yeshivas that you never address a person by his private name. For example, I try, and sometimes it slips out, but I always try to refer to my avreichim, never calling them by their private names, but adding on the title of Rebbe. Rebbe Aaron, Rebbe Moshe, Rebbe Yoshua, can I please speak to you? Can you please come here? You have also got to respect your chavrusa. Now, you are allowed to call him by his first name if it doesn't bother him and it doesn't bother you, but you have to respect him. And respecting him means you've got to talk to him in a respectable way. And remember, you are learning from him. Yes, you are obligated to respect your chavrusa. You don't have to stand in front of him, unless, of course, he is a big Talmid Chacham and a big rabbi. But yes, you have to respect him. Yes? Same question? Yes?
Involving the lock that used the computer as an example.
question is was about interesting halachic decisions that were made referring to modern life. Let's take one of the most common examples relating to the world of medicine. Organ donations. Are you allowed to donate organs? What organs are you allowed to donate? Questions that were not relevant up to about 50, 60 years ago. The first organ transplant was done, if I am not mistaken, in 1965 in South Africa by a South African doctor. These are questions that we, am I wrong? 1962. Okay, 1962. Was it in America or in South Africa?
No, America.
Was it a South African doctor then?
That was the heart.
Oh, the South African doctor was the heart. These are questions that, as rabbis, we have got to answer. A, are you allowed to donate an organ? B, there are many organs that you can only donate when a person is considered to be dead. And an interesting medical issue is the whole issue of being brain dead and being heart dead, which is a complete, we can give a whole shiur about that. There are certain organs that you can't donate when the heart is dead. For example, a heart, a liver, and there's also a problem with the lungs because those organs need a large blood supply. If I say that a person, if he is brain dead, is considered to be dead, yes, I can harvest those organs from him. If I say that only when his heart dies, I can't harvest the organs. Many rabbis have had to debate what is the moment of death. Relating to a sugya in Maseches Yoyma on the 83rd page, all these are interesting questions that we have in modern life. Another example to modern life, banking. The banks are a relatively new concept that has existed for 200 years. Now, up till about 50, maybe 100 years ago, not everyone used banks. Banks were used by the rich merchants. Banks were used by people who had lots of money and had to constantly pass money from here to there. Today, the bank has become a crucial part of everyday life. You can't cope without your bank. All the bills are deducted from your bank account. There are many questions relating to the rules of interest, the ribis. How are you supposed to relate to the bank? How are you supposed to deal with the bank? And these are questions that poskim have to deal today with modern life. Another example relating to modern life is not just the whole issue of transportation or of electricity, which is obviously a very common thing. How do we relate to democracy in halacha? Democracy is a relatively new thing. Democracy started about 250 years ago. France, America, the first democracies. Rome was supposed to be a democracy in its time, but it was more of a republic ruled only by the free Romans, which were a minority and a vast minority in Rome, while most others were slaves. How are we as Jews, how are we supposed to relate to democracy? Voting. There was just now voting in America for presidency. Is it a commandment to vote? Are you obligated to vote? Or are you allowed to vote? Or maybe you should refrain from voting? These are all questions relating to modern life which halacha must deal with. Any other questions? Yes. And he hasn't benched. Oh. A good question. A person on Motzei Shabbos, he had Shalashudas, and Shalashudas continued after nightfall, and we know that halachically, as long as for him it is still Shabbos, he has to say Ritzeh. The question is, what happens if he said Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, which means that for him, it has now become, Shabbos has left, and it's now become a regular day of the week, Sunday. Is he still allowed to say Ritzeh? The answer is Machloikis, therefore no. Because there's a big machloikis at all if a person who finished his se'uda after Shabbos is allowed to say Ritzeh. We paskin yes, because we go according to the moment he started the se'uda. But that is only on condition that it is still for him Shabbos. If he says, Amavli ben Kodesh L'chol, it's not Shabbos anymore, he missed the Ritzeh, and we'll paskin according to Torah scholars that say that since he finished it after Shabbos, he doesn't say Ritzeh anymore. Yes? Oh, again, same question. A person who davens Maariv before he benches on Motzei Shabbos is also making Havdalah, because he says in Tefillah Sa'amida, Atachonen, he also says there again, Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol. What? Oh, a person that forgot to say Hamavdil, first of all, he has to daven Ma'ariv again. He was not yotze through Davin Ma'ariv. He forgot to say atachonen, and if he doesn't have a cup of wine. If he has a cup of wine, the halacha is, he's supposed to say hamavdil on that cup of wine. So therefore, if he has a cup of wine, and for him Shabbos has not come out yet, he hasn't said hamavdil, yes, if he forgot to bench, he is still allowed to bench and say ritzeh. If he doesn't have a cup of wine and he has to bench Ma'ariv again, halachically he's supposed to bench Ma'ariv immediately as close as possible to when he davened. So he's going to daven again, and after he davens he's going to say Amavdil, he can't say Ritzeh. If he hasn't davened Ma'ariv yet because he's forgotten, the rabbi only told him that to daven half an hour afterwards, as long as he has davened Ma'ariv, for him it's still Shabbos, yes, he can say Ritzeh. Yes. A good question. Is a ger or new bal tshuva required to wait for 6 hours between meat and milk? First of all, we have approximately 12 different shitas in halacha. How many hours are you supposed to wait between meat and milk? Most poskim say that you should wait for 6 hours. Therefore, someone who is a ger or bal tshuva in that issue should go according to what his rabbi does. Since most rabbis today hold that you need to wait for 6 hours, unless your rabbi is of German origin and he keeps only 3 hours, or of Dutch origin who only keeps 1 hour, yes, you need to follow what the rabbi does and keep and preserve 6 hours between meat and milk. Yes. Oh, a very good question. What does Rav Shalom do? Rav Shalom waits for 6 hours between meat and milk. Yes. What's the inyan of an hour being a part of an hour? According to the shita of the tur, you don't even have to wait for an hour between meat and milk. You have to wait for the amount of time it takes you to clear the table from the meat products and lay the table again for milky products. Which means if you're a very efficient housewife, plus minus 5 minutes.
Oh.
5 hours, so therefore, first of all, you can already see there's a shita among the Rishonim, you don't have to wait even for a whole hour. Why do some poskim say that you only have to wait for 5 hours and a bit? The reason is because both the Rambam and the Meiri, when they bring the halacha about waiting for 6 hours, they don't use the word 6 hours. The Meiri uses 5 and a bit, and the Rambam says approximately 6. So according to that, Reb Aaron Kotler in America, who was his yotzai, Reb Aaron Kotler Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, the Torah scholar who built Torah life the way we know it today in America, Rabbi Aaron Kotler paskens that you are allowed to be mekil and only wait for 5 and a bit hours, and you don't have to wait for 6. Last question. Yes. The question is, why, if the commandment of the Torah was that we are not allowed to light fire on Shabbos, why is the commandment also expanded towards electricity? The question is, how do we look at electricity? Electricity is, in a sense, fire. We'll give a few examples. A person who is electrocuted, what happens to him? He's burnt. A person who puts his hand in fire, what happens to him? He's burnt. So we can see here that the reaction to fire and electricity is very similar. Second, according to many Torah scholars, one of them was the Gaon Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zecher Tzadik Livracha, electricity is only considered to be fire when it manifests in light, and only in the old style of light bulbs, which had to use a thin wire in order for the light to actually light up. Which means, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, speaking through a microphone is not an issue of fire. The Gaon, Reb Moshe Feiter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was asked this shaila, in a big shul, are they allowed to use the microphone on Shabbos? And B'dieved Gadol, this is not the Katchila, he was Mekel, using that same halachic thinking that electricity is not fire, the question is, how does it manifest? Other Torah scholars dispute. So therefore, we're machmir not to use electricity, either because it is considered to be fire, or because at least from Durabonon, since it can cause fire, we've got to be dangerous not to use it for other things, because you might also come and light a light bulb, and then it will be an issur from Duraisa. I'm really sorry, the time is now 12:30 and our time is up. I think the shiur now is supposed to begin by the Gaon Rabbi Maimon Shlita.